You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Ricker, and it's Food Friday time, and it's time to go with the grain, whole grain, that is. Humans have been eating whole grains for thousands of years, and we're just recently seeing their resurgence in mainstream popularity.
Joining us now is Robin Asbell, author of The Whole Grain Promise, more than 100 recipes to jumpstart a healthier diet, which walks us through some easy ways to make whole grains a part of our everyday cooking. Robin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, before we get to the how, can you tell us some of the why? Why should we be incorporating more whole grains into our foods?
Well, you know, whole grains are just the basis of a healthy diet. They have been for thousands of years. And whole grains, I always say they're the antidote to whatever else you're eating. They help to decrease your risk of, you know, heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, type 2 diabetes, lower your inflammation, help stop leaky gut, prevent colon cancer, and they're full of prebiotics and antioxidants, and they help you maintain a healthy weight.
So let's walk through a little bit what we're talking about. What are some examples of the whole grains we should be using?
Well, you know, you can either go with things like just, you know, changing over to whole wheat bread, or you can get more into cooking with actual whole grains, which is, you know, millet, amaranth, quinoa, things like that.
One worry I think a lot of people have is that whole grains is going to be denser, coarser for baking for a lot of recipes, that we're going to lose some quality here in the food we're eating.
Oh, no. And it's really just a matter of you know, kind of wrapping your brain around that it's just a little different, you know, and there's some tips and tricks and ways to work with that. But once you get used to it, I think a lot of it's mostly a psychological barrier.
Do you think that people have really embraced whole grains these days, or does it still sort of have that overtone of leftover hippie cuisine?
You know, just this last year, in 2015, there was a big survey done by the International Food, you know, Opinions Group. I can't remember their name, but they said that 70% of consumers are saying that they want to eat more whole grains, and that 50% eat all whole wheat bread. Well, so it's not as far out there as it may once have seemed.
Let's get into some of the tips and tricks you mentioned. And one easy way I've tried is substituting some wheat flour for white flour. It's some things I don't notice the difference. I make a pumpkin oat bread. I swap in wheat flour one for one with white flour. Great, no problem. I make apple crisp a lot. I try to put in any proportion of wheat flour, and I hate it. It's terrible. Is there a secret to baking desserts, things like that, with wheat flour instead of white flour?
Well, that's, you know, one of the tips I give in the book is, like, when you were doing that with the pumpkin bread, is you were, you know, because whole grains have a stronger flavor, a more assertive flavor, if you use other more assertive flavors with them, they balance better, you know. So you've got something in there like pumpkins and spice or chocolate or, you know, tons of cinnamon. You're not really going to notice, you know, if you make a peanut butter cake or something that's already kind of brown and very flavorful, you're not going to notice that a little bit of the flour's got a little more flavor.
I want to talk a little bit about rice, because I love rice. And then that report dropped a few years ago about arsenic being linked to the different varieties of rice, including brown rice. And now I think, can I still eat rice or can't I? What's the final verdict on this?
Well, the latest, and there's actually, I wrote a whole sidebar about this in the book, is that most of the arsenic in brown rice is in the bran layer, so white rice is perfectly safe, as are the other color rices like black and red. And the problem is that in the southern United States, like Texas and Louisiana, there is inorganic arsenic in the soil, and so that the rice draws that up and puts it in the bran layer. So if you eat rice from California or India or other parts of the world, it's much lower in arsenic. But the current estimate is to stick to adults about a cup and a half of cooked brown rice a week. And that's not that hard to do. And also, I think that's just an opportunity to try these other grains like quinoa and frika. You know, why stick to just brown rice?
And I wanted to ask about frika. I saw a recipe for it in the book. What is frika? That's one that's new to me.
Frika, I really think, is just going to keep getting hotter and hotter. What it is it looks sort of similar to bulgur most of the time, and it's green, unripe wheat that's been roasted in the hull and then husked so that it has this lovely toasty flavor. And it's higher in some nutrients because of this process of harvesting it green. And so it's really a wonderful, it's got a great flavor.
So what would we do with frika?
Well, I'd do a salad in there. You know, you can use it in your pilafs. You can just cook it up and eat it like rice. You could use it instead of bulgur in your tabbouleh. And it's just got a great, you know, like I say, it's got a little smokiness, a lot of nuttiness.
We're talking to Robin Asbell right now. She's the author of The Whole Grain Promise, more than 100 recipes to jumpstart a healthier diet. And one of the concepts that you use a lot in your book is this the concept of stealth nutrition and sneaking some of these whole grains into foods. Tell us about that.
Yes, I believe in lying. No, kidding. The main thing is that we've done so many, there are so many wonderful studies about this. Actually, out at Dr. Brian Wansink out at Cornell does all these studies about how people, you know, their perceptions toward food are very inaccurate. And one of them is that the minute you call something healthy, people start tasting weird flavors in it, even if it's not, you know, there's nothing in there. You know, they'll tell people, well, try this, it has soy flour in it. And they immediately say, oh, it's gritty and funny tasting. And there's no soy flour in it. You know, so the idea is that it, and we're so easily fooled. And again, it's very psychological. So what I do, and I've worked for many years as a private chef cooking for families, and I've just learned that the thing to do is just put it in there. Don't say anything. If anything, call it gourmet and maybe too nice for children. And then just, and you know, because it's all an image thing. You know, is it like people are saying black rice now is hot or farro is very gourmet, whereas people think of brown rice as, you know, health food. And so just, you know, call it good food and serve it, and people will be more likely to just enjoy it.
Man, oh man, I've been doing this all wrong for my kids.
Right.
Hey, kids, let's try this new grain. It's healthy. You'll like it. And yeah, that it's they know it tastes bad before it even hits the plate.
Right. And you probably knew
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. They decide before it's out of the pot. What the heck is this? You know, so that's and that's the same thing with, you know, grown-ups, too. So as you were saying, there's just this idea. And if you ever had a nasty, dried up old whole wheat bread, you're going to think it's all like that. And it's really not.
Well, what is a good first step in sneaking some of these whole grains into a recipe that might otherwise, you know, not have them there? What's a good way to start?
Well, first of all, I mean, if you're going to use flours. There's two flours you need to investigate, and one is white whole wheat flour, which it's a whole wheat, which actually just has a pale bran layer, so it looks lighter. It's more sort of golden than brown, and it's a little lower in gluten, and it's a very tasty flour, so you can slip some of that in without it being so visible. And the other is that whole wheat pastry flour is better for using in, say, your cookie or your cake because it's lower gluten. It's very finely ground, so there's no little chunks or chips in there. Then you want to start out with just doing a percentage. And I covered a survey. It was an experiment done here at the University of Minnesota where they gradually increased the whole wheat flour in the buns and the pizza at a middle school over the course of a year without telling anyone. And by the end of the year, the kids were eating all whole wheat, and they had no idea, and were eating just as much.
Wow.
I've done this with pancakes at home. I got up to 50-50 before it was really noticeable, and I leveled it up. So we've got half and half whole grain white flour pancakes at home now. So, okay, I'm working with some science here. I want to get into a recipe you shared with us on the Central Time Facebook page, Robin. Hard one to say, savory streusel squash pie with oat crust. It's a tongue twister, but talk us through the recipe.
Sure. Well, you know, everybody likes pumpkin pie when it's sweet. And so this is a wonderful side dish at Thanksgiving or the holidays or any time in the winter. And so it's just I made a chunky, oaty, you know, crust with herbs and more savory flavors, and then made a beautiful, you know, savory squash filling again with lots of herbs and yumminess, and then a crumbly streusel on top. So there's lots of crunch and color, and again, the squash and lots of flavor. And so it's a really great one.
Now, is this going to please the fussy kid in us that wants everything to be, you know, as unhealthy as possible?
Well, it's, you know, more interesting than pilaf, I suppose. You know, it's kind of hitting all your, you know, you've got your vegetables, you've got your grains in there. But I find that children's palates, again, as a private chef, they're all so different. You know, there's going to be one kid who's going to go for this and another one who might go for, you know, the Frika salad. It's hard to say.
Again, that pie is on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Matt with us in Menominee Falls. Matt, hi.
Hi there. I'm wondering if your guest knows anything or can tell me anything about something called TEFF, T-E-F-F.
Sure. TEFF is a wonderful ancient grain. It's one of the tiniest grains. TEFF actually means lost in the original language. It was once the central grain in Africa, of some parts of Africa. And the main way people eat it here is in injera bread, which you can get in Ethiopian and West African restaurants sometimes. Very nutritious.
And how do you prepare it? How do you turn TEFF into injera?
Well, it's ground into flour and then fermented into and cooked like a little pancake.
Huh.
So there's that. And also you can buy it whole and cook it up. It's tiny and it cooks up to sort of a little porridge with bits of crunchy grain in there. And it's just delicious. It comes in a dark brown or ivory. And it's really, really high in some trace minerals. And it's beautiful grain.
Can you buy a ready-made TEFF flour?
Yes, yes, you can. And actually, in my neighborhood, you can buy 50-pound bags.
Wow.
Because there are a lot of people who live there who make TEFF.
Well, Matt, thanks a lot for that call. I had never heard of TEFF before, and we're talking here with Robin Asbell, the author of The Whole Grain Promise, more than 100 recipes to jumpstart a healthier diet.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you adopted more grains, whole grains, into your diet? Do you have a favorite one you'd want to share with us, or do you have a question on how to cook with one? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our Food Friday discussion now about cooking with whole grains with Robin Asbell. She's the author of The Whole Grain Promise.
We're taking your calls. Do you like to use whole grains in your cooking, your baking? Do you have a favorite snack, meal, recipe you'd like to share? Or do you have a question about how to get more whole grains into your diet? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Ruth joining us in Eau Claire. Ruth, hi.
Hi. I would say buckwheat is one of my favorites, especially buckwheat pancakes. And generally when I eat pancakes, I get a really heavy feeling in my stomach afterwards, and not with buckwheat. It's awesome. I love it. I love the flavor of it. And I also have a question, which is... for adults who, like, no longer necessarily do sit-down meals, their family is grown and gone from home, you know, how do you suggest people, I actually just had a talk with a friend today about this, you know, like, how do you get this into your diet when you're no longer doing, like, a family meal and you're eating a little bit more, just sort of, uh-huh, here and there as you feel you need to during the day.
Right. That's a great question, Ruth. I'm glad you brought that up because there is this association with all these whole grains that they take a long time. And if you're going to spend 40 minutes cooking something on a stovetop, then you want it, you know, you want it to be something that serves more than one person. So that's what do you think about that, Robin? How do you make these accessible for smaller portions?
Oh, sure. It's very easy. And I have instructions in the book about how to, you know, say cook a big batch and you can either freeze them in smaller portions. You can just make some to eat throughout the week, you know, and say make a big pot of millet and you can have some warmed up with milk on Monday and then have it for lunch as a salad on Tuesday. And then say Thursday, you can pick up Chinese takeout and serve it over millet, you know, so you can just make these things ahead for yourself and also, you know, just make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Ruth, thanks for that call. And that reminds me, one thing that surprised me in your book, Robin, is smoothies, working grains into your smoothies, which wouldn't have leapt to my mind.
You know, and the thing about smoothies is so often they're just, you know, fruit. They can be very sweet. And we know that whole grains have a really great satiety index, which means they keep you full. And say, I put quinoa in one because quinoa is a star of a protein and minerals. So you throw a little quinoa in your smoothie. It makes it thick and really wonderful and you stay full longer.
Oh.
Cooked quinoa?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, good. Because that sounds, yeah, that sounds a little too crunchy otherwise.
What about oats?
Oh, yeah.
I love oats. I could eat oatmeal every day of the week and not get tired of it. What else can I do with oats besides oatmeal?
Well, you know, I've got instructions in there on how to just make overnight oat soaks, which are just, you just mix the oats with some juice or milk or whatever you'd like and put it in the refrigerator, and it'll just soak up the liquid so you don't have to cook. And you can also use oats in so many things. I've got an oat crouton in the book where it's sort of a savory granola crouton that you make, and it's got a little, you know, herbs and spices, and you put those on salads or float them on soup. You can put oats in all kinds of desserts and cookies and bars. I mean, oats are very versatile.
And do they actually reduce cholesterol?
They do. There is a special kind of starch in there called beta-glucan, which takes cholesterol right out of your body. And it's interesting because barley is actually higher in that. So if you want to switch over to, you know, if you really want to lower your cholesterol, eat some barley.
We're getting whole grains into our diet today with Robin Asbell, author of The Whole Grain Promise. Back to our callers now with Juliet in Rice Lake. Juliet, hi.
Hi. I'm glad that you were able to take my call. I know I was calling at the last minute. I just wanted to comment that I used to be a chef, and I am now a mother and work at a bank during the day, but I managed to work these whole grains in, as your guest was saying. They really don't take that long to cook, but in introducing them to the kids, they've made a nice side dish always in replacement, obviously, of the potatoes and noodles that most people turn to, and really the same amount of cooking time. I have learned that to get them to taste them and make them palatable for kids, I make a pilaf with sautéed peppers and onions and whatnot, and when I'm introducing it for the first time, I always try to cook it at least every 2 weeks, and they have to take 2 bites every time I cook it. And it, they end up, and I tell them it's good, and if it wasn't good, I wouldn't serve it to them. And people used to pay me a lot of money to make them food. So I say, you know, take 2 bites, and generally by the end of the 6 week or 8 week period, it's something that I can work into my weekly rotation, and they like it. And as your guest said, it helps keep them full. I've also done the quinoa slow cooker for breakfast, as well as millet and whatnot. I have 2 kids that can't eat oats, so I'm always looking for other grains that I can use in place of oats. And really, it's been a tried and true system for me. I now have kids that eat calamari. Anytime we go out, they want it as an appetizer. You know, all of these stranger foods that a lot of kids, quote, don't like.
Gotcha, Juliet. And Robin, that's maybe what I was doing wrong when my kids rejected, like, farro out of hand. I gave up. I didn't even try that experiment again. So repeated exposure, I might have better luck, it sounds like, Robin.
Just keep trying. And again, don't make an issue out of it. You know, don't make a battle. And then just keep trying different things, because I've just found, again, through much experimentation, you will find some whole grain foods that your kids and your family love. You just kind of have to stick with it.
Well, thanks a lot for that call, and I'm going to go to Heather in Eau Claire. Heather, hi.
Hi. So I'm a beginner pasta maker, and it's my understanding that gluten is necessary to make pasta. However, I have friends who would prefer to have gluten-free pasta. So are there any grains or flour that I could use to make gluten-free pasta?
Okay, great question.
You know, interestingly enough, I wrote a book called Gluten-Free Pasta, and actually, you can do some whole grains in gluten-free pasta, but, you know, it's kind of complicated. You have to use other things to substitute for the gluten. But, yes, you can. And you can buy a lot of dry pastas that are made from brown rice, quinoa, corn, all those kinds of things as well.
Well, thank you, Heather. Appreciate that call. And good luck with your pasta.
So, how did you first get into whole grain in the first place, Robin? What was your journey there?
You know, I was just, for some reason, when I was in high school, I had always baked bread, and there was a recipe in one of the books for whole wheat bread, and I started baking all the bread for my family, and I thought, why would anybody want white bread when whole wheat bread is so good? And I actually, my first ever job making food was, my mom talked a friend of hers into selling my whole wheat bread at her little health food store. So I made whole wheat bread for her once a week.
And is that the recipe that shows up in your cookbook, or is it close to it?
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember that recipe.
Too long now.
High school was a long time ago.
Right.
All right, Robin. Robin, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And just remember, you know, whole grains are a delicious adventure. This is all good fun.
That was Robin Asbell. Her new book is called The Whole Grain Promise, More Than 100 Recipes to Jumpstart a Healthier Diet. We've got a recipe to help you get started posted on the Central Time Facebook page. It's a savory squash pie with an oat crust. Sounds really good. I like my squash, so I think I might give that one a shot.
All right. Sounds good.